And Brother John.
There is a sweet, sweet spirit in this place. Amen?
Amen.
It is a joy to be in Christ and enjoy the fellowship of brothers and sisters. Judd, thank you for leading us in a glorious time of singing and worship. And I want to reiterate what's already been spoken and said today, especially to our guest. We are delighted by your presence with us, and we really hope that you experience the love of God and the warmth of this fellowship. You are certainly welcome here. And we are a church not of perfect people, but saved people. You see, God's doing his perfecting work in each of our lives. So don't set your expectations so high that you're disappointed when you find out we're human, just like you are. But we are a people who seek to love God and love one another. And God bless us all as we continue to do that. This has been a difficult week for our congregation, and we've had a number of difficult weeks. It was sad when we had Vern pass away a couple of weeks ago, and then this past week, it was actually on Friday, we did a funeral for James Bennett. James has been a member of our church for about 3 years, and then he went off to the Navy. He went into the Navy Engineering School, which I don't think just anybody can be admitted to the Navy Engineering School. Nuclear engineering. There we go. Nuclear engineering. It's not just engineering. It's nuclear. Just a genius of a child. Then he went into, they transferred him from that to encryption technology to prevent things like espionage and cyber attacks and things like that. But he was involved in an accident that took his life Sunday night, and by no fault of his own. And anyway, that funeral was 5 o'clock Sunday. Remember the Bennett family in your prayers. And let me say this, I really appreciate, I know it's difficult for people to get away from work, and I certainly know we're busy in many ways, but a number of you took time to be here for that. Those are the most difficult times, but it's one of the most glorious times that we as people who follow Jesus can share God's love and be there for people in the midst of their grief. That's one thing that we know about Jesus. He always showed up in the midst of people suffering. Reading the story about Lazarus and Mary and Martha, and Jesus, he does come. He's there. He's there. A matter of fact, the maker of heaven and earth, involved in creation, involved in the redemption of people, he shed tears. When the scripture teaches us to rejoice with those who rejoice, and then the Bible says to mourn with those who, help me out, church, help, mourn with those who mourn. So we are Christ's body, and so when people are in mourning, we love to get together and celebrate the good stuff, like these four children that are getting ready to go off to kindergarten. I love their smiles and their excitement, and we rejoice with them, but we've got to be all things to all people. That's what Paul said. And I'm just so grateful for those of you that were able to be there to help that family bear in their suffering and remember them in their prayers. I'm a little bit taxed. Y'all know, not by Uncle Sam. That would be a lot taxed. Nobody said amen, but I know many of you may feel that way. But I'm a little bit physically taxed, but that's okay. That's all right. I want to spend a few minutes this morning, and I'm very aware of the clock that, and we've got a couple of new classes that we're going to begin today. Jerry and Gail are doing a class on helping helpers, people who help serve others, and that's we can read about it in your bulletin. I'm going to start a new class. I was going to start it today, but folks, I'm not ready for it. I just, not enough time and energy. But I do have a class prepared. And we're going to, so we've got a co-ed. Everybody's welcome to stay in the auditorium class. I'm going to show a video of Christ and have some discussion with that. And then, but Jerry and Gail are starting their class. It's back in the new wing in the classroom areas over near the counseling center. And that's going to be a wonderful class. So in the time that I have remaining, I want to talk to you for just a few minutes about children. We spent a couple of weeks ago, we talked about how men are portrayed in pop culture And last week, if you weren't here, I really want to encourage you to listen in on that sermon. We talked about how women are portrayed in our culture. And how Scripture speaks of women. And then today, I want to talk for a few minutes about children. And I want to begin this morning by drawing an analogy. And I want us to imagine what it must be like to be a child in today's society here in America in which we live. And I came across this story, and I thought it really fit kind of a similar way of what our children must be experiencing. Up in the northern part of Alaska, there is the island of Igloolik. I think that's where the igloo coolers had their idea from. It's about the most cold, it's the coldest place in the United States. The average temperature hovers about 20 degrees below zero. That's the average annual temperature. Thick sheets of sea ice cover the surrounding waters, and the sun is rarely seen in those areas. But despite these kinds of conditions, which are brutal, the Inuit hunters live up there and have for hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands of years. And what's amazing about them is that for thousands of years, they have ventured out from their igloos and go hunting in these hunting parties. And do you know, for thousands of years, they never had a global positioning system unit ever in their possession. But these hunting parties would go out for miles and miles in a place where, well, there's not a lot of landmarks around. It's and snow is being blown, and it's constantly in flux. It's constantly experiencing change. And once you make a set of tracks on your way out, in about a 24-hour or less period, the wind will blow snow and cover those tracks. So you have no idea where you've come from so that you can return. But here's what's interesting. So without the help of GPS, without the help of compasses, these people still are amazing at being able to navigate life, as I said, for hundreds, if not thousands of years. And the way that they would navigate is by paying attention to their surroundings. They pay attention to the winds, the snowdrift patterns, animal behavior, and the stars. And all of these indicators is how they would go out for miles and miles on hunting voyages and journeys and return home and be able to feed their families. Well, since then, in a more recent development, they've had a couple of things come their way. One is the snowmobile. So they can get out where they're going a whole lot faster, and they can go a whole lot further due to the snowmobile. A great thing that's been introduced to them. But along with the snowmobiles, they now have GPSs attached to those snowmobiles. And they perform those snowmobiles in a similar way that moms do in their SUVs in suburbia. They turn on the GPS and they put in the coordinate, that number of that drive, and then they just listen to Siri? Of course, you can change. My kids changed ours to some English-speaking dude, you know. Please, turn here, or whatever, I can't do it. And so that's how you navigate. But what happens when you're navigating with a GPS system, a grand and great new technology, and it can't handle 20 degree below temperatures? Or what happens if you go with the GPS and it go from, rather than paying attention to the surrounding terrain and reading the ice and reading the wind, you just draw a straight line from A to B, and with tunnel vision, it doesn't matter what your surroundings are, you just go from point A to point B. As a result of the GPS, the Inuit Indians have had disastrous circumstances occur, great tragedies where people made life-threatening and life-altering mistakes because of new technology. And the younger generation now does not have the capability anymore to read the wind, to read the snow, to read the ice, to read the stars, and to navigate to their own demise. I wonder what it's like to grow up in America as a child. We've never had so many great things, and yet do you know that our children today are suffering more from mental disorders and from depression than any generation before? And they're having difficulty at levels never before navigating life. I wonder why. Are y'all getting tired of me going, Well, let's talk about it. I don't know, just some thoughts. While some things change, some things remain the same. And I believe that if we want children to thrive and flourish, there's only one way, and that's Jesus. We work really hard at getting our kids to a lot of events and activities these days. Y'all have heard of helicopter parenting. I want to start something new here at our... I'm going to coin a new phrase. I'm going to call it curler parenting. Have y'all ever seen the Winter Olympic Games in which there are curlers? Do y'all know what that is? It's a big round stone about, 5 inches tall. It's about, weighs about 40 pounds. And on ice, you know, you've got people on the sides with brooms. And you've got one person that's going to throw the stone. The stone is our children. So here we go. So you come running up there, and it's kind of, what was that game we used to, shuffleboard. You know, when some of you old fogies, y'all know shuffleboard. You've been out there on the Caribbean Sea out there eating all that. And you play that old fogey game, shuffleboard. Well, this is similar. So you got this granite stone with a handle on it, and you send that stone ever so gently, and you've got your sliding form that you go in. And then you have the broomers. I don't know. That's the word I'll give them. They each have those real fancy brooms. Have y'all seen that? And they'll go in front of the stone as it's sliding down the aisle. And they can alter the speed of the stone. They can move the stone by simply altering the ice. And so the people are by the sides, they get these brooms and they're doing this right here. Y'all ready? Everybody watching? And I thought, you know, how many of you as parents are as tired today as some of those broom folk? They're going down the aisle. They're curling their kids to practice. They're curling their kids to school. They're curling their kids to go shopping. They're curling their kids to get to this party. They're curling their kids to get everybody. And we get to the end of the day because now we have, I'm out of breath, one parent working. We now have two parents working because we want to keep up with the Smiths. And the Joneses. Okay. Not to pick on the Smiths here. And so we've said to have it all requires two salaries, but we can still do it. Like we can still do that, all of this stuff, and still keep the main thing, the main thing. Church, what is the main thing? Well, I know when I read the scripture, says people were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. But the disciples rebuked them, and when Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He wants nothing between them and him. Nothing between him and them. Brother Jim, where? Walls, can I get an amen? It sure is quiet in here. There we go. Now I'm meddling. Jim told me about meddling the other day. He said, just start preaching to the walls. They'll listen. Jesus wants nothing between him and them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant, and he said to them, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, For the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. And truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. And the Bible says this, and he took the children into his arms, and he placed his hands on them, and he blessed them. I don't know. When I think about this, and I think about, parents, I know you feel a lot of pressure, right? The one thing about social media and new technology is because it leaves us feeling like we're not doing it as good as others. So there's this constant pressure that people face. You know, we gotta deck out our rooms for our kids. Our kids' bedrooms have got to look like they came out of Pottery Barn or IKEA or something, like some show piece that should be published in some magazine of beautiful houses or stuff. Or we dress them to the nines with all these trendy and coordinated outfits and birthday parties. Do y'all remember when birthday parties used to be like? I remember when I had a birthday. I sound like an old fogey. This is hilarious. You know what it was like when, back in the day, I remember my mother, you know what she did for a birthday party? She made me a cake, invited a few friends, and we ate an ice cream, and we played around in the yard climbing trees and taking sticks and hitting each other with sticks and stuff like that. It was fun. Now what do? You got to go to Pinterest. And you got to go to 100 ways to have the most amazing, impressive birthday party in the world. You got to have your do-it-yourself. Although we've got cupcake stations now that kids can go and decorate their cupcakes. And it's just over the top. Everything is over the top. Everything is over the top. And then you can take a picture of it and you can post it on Facebook and you get likes. While you're exhausted and empty-pocketed, can I get an amen? Because we don't want our children to feel like they're you know, not matching up to their peers around. That would hurt them, hurt their little egos. Do you know what the most common word that children use today is? So we've never had so much and we've never can do so much. Do you know what their number one word is? Or the number one threat to their lives is being bored. Some of you that are parents that have kids, you know what I'm talking about. Bored. That's the word, bored. Then these kids, They get a little older, get to be teenagers, and pressure gets incredibly intense in their lives. Do you know what the biggest fear teens face? It's called FOMO. Y'all know what FOMO stands for? FOMO. Y'all know what it stands for? Fear of missing out. Well, they come up with all little statements about that, right? And if they don't have their phone on 24/7 and can respond in less than 2 minutes, they feel like they're not meeting their friends' expectations. And if they go without their phone for just an hour or two, they experience FOMO, fear of missing out. They're missing out on conversations. See, one of them's already got to be taken out right now. Fear of missing out on messages, fear of missing some funny video that's being shared. And then they experience all kinds of things from the media. There's pressure to be perfect, look perfect, act perfect, have the perfect body, have the perfect group of friends, perfect amount of likes on a posting. And if you don't meet these ridiculously high standards, what do? You feel horrible about yourself. And then they bully, and then they experience bullying. They get shamed on media, Facebook, Twitter, whatever. I've got a name for Twitter, but I can't use it right here, right now. Has to do with birds, but I'll just leave it at that. They get shamed by people whose name is anonymous. Has anybody ever met anonymous before? Do you know when I get a letter that's anonymous, which has happened once or twice while I've been here? You know what I do with anonymous? Hey, if you can't put your name to it, I've got a receptacle for that. It's called the trash can. But I can do that because I'm 45 years old. I'm not 15 or 14 or 13. And when somebody says something to me, even if it's anonymous, it hurts. That's the world that our kids live in. You know what the answer to all this is? It's really simple. It's really simple. I thought about this. It took me about 30 seconds to come up with a solution for this. And it's been the same thing for 2,000 years. Do you know what the answer to this is? The answer to our kids' struggles and challenges, do you know what it is? It's Jesus and his church. It ain't rocket science here. It's Jesus and his church. What do you want for your kids? Let's see, the scriptures teach us, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right, Ephesians 6:1. My mom and dad had me memorize that one. I remember that one. And then Ephesians goes on, and it talks about what the parent's responsibility is. And it says this, Ephesians 6:2. It says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with the promise that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy, that's a good word, long life on the earth. So many of our kids, they're having life, but it's not one marked by joy. They got things, but it's not an experience of joy. So here's the answer. The solution to this, oh, I'm meddling now. Woo! Jim, can I get an amen, Walls? Actually, he didn't answer. He's like, well, I don't know where you're going. I'm going to wait. Trust me, brother. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. Here's what the church devoted themselves to, which included teens and which included children. It says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. You got to have some form of direction. The Inuit Indians used the stars and the wind and their the behavior of animals to get their direction. What do we use to get our direction in life? The apostles' teaching. What does it say? They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship. We weren't made for, what's the word I'm looking for? Virtual friendship. There's the word I'm looking for, virtual. See, everything's media and it's virtual. We weren't made for virtual friendship. That can enhance, that can add to, but we were made for not virtual, but authentic, which means being present. It means being together. And without it, we find ourselves in a compromised way. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, fellowship, breaking bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together. Yep, there it is in the Bible right there. They were together. And had everything in common. They sold property and possessions and gave. There's generosity that marks the character of the community. They gave to anyone who had need. Do you know how awesome it feels to meet someone else's need? Well, you don't unless you give. So verse 46, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes, ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. Do you know what the answer is for our children? I know they don't need more messages from our culture. The way children are portrayed in the media today is the kids are the experts. Mom is gone and dad is a buffoon. So watch the children shows and that's how, and so they're the only intelligent ones and they're the only ones that can survive together. Well, that's a disastrous portrayal of family. And a horrible idea for children to have. They need connection. They need community. They need wisdom that's passed on. So here we go, curling our kids to school, curling our kids to practice, curling our kids to games, curling our kids to competition, curling our kids to recreation. Are we curling our kids to Jesus? Do we curl them to worship? Are they in Christian community? Are they involved in any meaningful service that makes a difference in the lives of others? In the name of Jesus. Our kids do a lot of good things, but in some aspect, almost all aspects of life, they can't do it in the name of Christ. Are they doing it for Jesus with what we're doing? Are they receiving foundational direction for their lives? Parents, we said we can do it all. We've added to our work schedules, both men and women. But we're tired, aren't we, when we get home? And when we're so tired and spent, it seems like Jesus kind of gets put off into the back as far as priority. But said, well, we said to begin with, we can do it all and put Jesus first. And we're doing it all, and I'm asking, is Jesus first? And if he's not first, what's the rhythm that that you're giving to your children? I remember. So here we go. Here we go, walls. I remember Sunday morning class, the McCords were there. Sunday morning church, McCords were there. Sunday night church, McCords were there. Wednesday night, McCords were there. Now, between Sunday morning and Sunday evening, the McCords were on the golf course, and we came to church in our golf clubs, but we were still there. I remember we played in golf tournaments, my dad and I, and when it came time for church, whether we were finished or not, you know what we did? And we spent our money. Guess what we did? Well, I know what my dad did. My dad got us to church. Yeah, Clint said we're a commuter church. That's right. We got people 30, 40, 50 miles out that come and gather here. And so you make a decision. I'm not going to tell you what to do. I just know that my mom and dad put a rhythm in my life that carried over into adulthood. And we are putting rhythms in our children's life that are going to carry over. If we want our children to experience glad and sincere hearts and joy, it really is in fellowship with Jesus. And it's in fellowship with his church. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 23, that says this, that the church is the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Well, it can't be the it can't be the fullness of him who fills everything in every way if the church doesn't gather, if the church doesn't serve in his name, if the church is absent. And so as we think about our kids, and I think about mine all the time, and I'm not the perfect parent, by the way. Some of you may expect your preacher that he walks just a little on a higher plane. I promise you I'm made out of the same stuff you are. But I do know this. I really want my children to be blessed and favored by Jesus. And whatever it takes for them to be embraced by him and for nothing to get in the way. I don't want to get in the way of them. I don't want others to get in the way of them. I want them to know Jesus as I have known Jesus. So there it is. How about that? There it is. So your job is to pray on that. And with courage, think about the priorities that we're placed on our lives. And what is the rhythms that we're going to pass on to our children if we want them to have glad and sincere hearts. Amen? Amen. Amen. One of the jobs of the preacher is to admonish. Today I admonish myself and I admonish us all in the Father's love. If we can serve any of you,